Ash Wednesday, as the beginning of a journey, is always so unique to me. And each year I open this Bible, the Bible I've had since the first day at seminary. And that first day of seminary happened back when I was in college. And this Bible's been through a lot of different parts of my life. And I hold on to it, and every Ash Wednesday I open up to the text of Matthew, and the page is torn. And it's the same text every year. It doesn't change with our liturgical year, it doesn't change with Scripture, it's the same text. And every year I open my Bible and I realize again that just like this Bible, that we are the torn pages of a beautiful gospel. That our lives are not perfect. For however much our story is beautiful and filled with grace, that at times it hurts. At times it's broken. At times we're in the middle of a journey that we sometimes call a wilderness. And all we try to do is put it back together and tape it back together so that people can hear our story again and that we can read on. So tonight, again, I share this scripture with you. A scripture that is truly about our relationship with God, and it begins in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 6, and it says this. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners, so that they may be seen by others. And truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then continuing in verse 16, it says this on the torn pages of my Bible. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites. For they disfigure their faces so as to show that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you that they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Here ends our gospel reading. And I'm going to share verse 1 with you again. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. I looked up that word piety. And it says, don't practice your religiousness, is what it says. What it's saying is, don't be too churchy. It's saying, when you go out, just know that the Father, who you think you need to say the right things and do the right things and lead your life in these ways, knows everything that's in your heart already. See, what I struggle with in this text is the fact that it keeps on saying, your Father who sees in secret will reward you in secret. And I'm like, well, our faith is supposed to be lived out in public. Our faith is supposed to be for others to see so that they may see Christ in us, and we can walk at that, but it keeps on driving me to the secret of this Father who sees us in that way. And it says, and oh, by the way, don't do it in the synagogues like the hypocrites. And just in case you don't know what synagogue means, it means church. It's saying, hey, all of you who go to church, don't be too churchy. And if you have faith, don't live it out too publicly. And says, but rather, go into your bedroom and shut the door and have a relationship with God. And as I read this text over and over and over again, I realized it was asking us to do the hardest thing that we never do. It's saying, you can have this relationship here, but do you have a personal relationship with God? Do you have one where you talk to God in private? Do you have one where you confess to God? The reason we started with confession is because I don't believe we do it enough. And if you heard those words that you were saying, they weren't easy words. By our own grievous faults, for the times that we have not cared for creation, for the times that we've seen the injustice and the cruelty, and we've stood by. And if you heard those words, you realize you couldn't escape it. That confession is in each and every one of us. And how many times do we confess to God? How many times do we stop in our life and just lay everything on the line for a God who already knows our heart? See, Ash Wednesday is about the beginning of a journey. It's about the beginning of 40 days with Christ through the wilderness. And if you remember the wilderness, Christ went into the wilderness led by the Spirit of God. And in the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days. And right at the end of that fast, the devil came to him and tempted him and said, hey, have a kingdom, have bread, have the angels protect you. All these wonderful things that we know that God can do. And the devil just said, trust me. Aren't you hungry? Aren't you ready to be done? And Jesus again claimed his relationship with God. Jesus claimed, I have a personal relationship with God. And that's all you need to know. And no, not everyone needs to see it. And I don't need to own these kingdoms for people to know about my personal relationship with God. So I come to you tonight as pastor asking you, do you have a personal relationship with God? And it walks through how to do that. That first one is almsgiving. It's an old word that means, do you give monetarily and do you give food to the poor? Literally. That's what almsgiving is. Do you give food to the poor? What Christ is saying is a relationship begins with saying that there is more than myself in this world and I'm going to give that away right away. And it says, oh, and by the way, do you have a prayer relationship with God? And I'm not talking about a prayer relationship where in the car you're driving and you just say, hey, God, I got a couple seconds at the stoplight. I'm going to offer a couple prayers. How many of you find time for prayer in the midst of other activities that are going on? It's okay. Be honest. Like, let's confess a little bit, right? God, I got a couple minutes right now. I'm going to pray to you. And it actually feels good, doesn't it? Because that's a time in our life when we said, okay, we've dedicated our time. But here in Scripture, it says, no, go behind closed doors, dedicate your time and life to God and pray it out with God the Father who sees in secret and will reward you for that prayer. And I wonder how many times we do that. I wonder when our prayers stop being the prayers that were God-sized, the prayers that God needed to hear. I wonder when life got in the way of us having a personal relationship with God. I wonder when our prayers stop being heal by the power of your name. Change my life. Remove this addiction. Remove this temptation, where we could pray so boldly and trust in God that God would hear those prayers. I wonder when that changed. And I wonder as a pastor if we can go back to it. That if we can claim a God who is in our life, who created the heavens and the earth, and formed us from the dust. Can we reclaim our prayer life? And it says, even in the midst of prayer, are you fasting? How many of you enjoy fasting? Yeah. When I say this might be the toughest scripture in here talking about our personal relationship with God, I mean it. Because then it goes on to say, and don't fast and look bad. How many of you have fasted and felt good? God's not saying that the relationship to a personal relationship with God is going to be an easy road that's wonderful and paved and then guide you every step of the way. What God says is get on your knees and pray, and while you're doing it, crave life with me so much that you don't desire food anymore. That I will be your sustenance and I will be your bread and you will have life eternal. Yet we don't get on our knees and we don't crave it because we're still hungry for this world. What God is asking us here is to rededicate our life to Christ and to say that we need to begin a new journey. And I think that can begin in every one of you. And I think it looks different for every one of you. But you know what it looks like? It looks like serving the community. It looks like praying the prayers that are on your heart that you're too scared to say anymore. And believing in God. And it looks like saying, yeah, if things get in the way of my relationship to you, if food's a stumbling block, if these are some, I'm going to remove those so that I crave my life in you. And as I was thinking about this, I realized that the neighborhood church, the church, the body of Christ cannot be the body of Christ, cannot be the church that God has called us to be unless you are in the right relationship with God that God has called you to be in. We're trying to walk as a church with people who don't have a prayer life anymore. We're trying to walk as a church with people who don't fast and crave that life in Christ anymore. We're trying to walk and be a church with people who don't serve in the community anymore. And guess what? We can change all of that. And it doesn't begin with us having a project for you. It doesn't begin with us telling you where to go. It begins in your heart. It begins in you. It begins in your personal relationship that you need to tell no one about. And from that, you will live out your life in Christ in a bold and new way. And it might take some time. This time, it just might be 40 days. And I think that we can do that. I think we can begin that. Because I think we're all truly broken and we need a new journey. I think we're all hurting a little bit and we needed that new life. I was hanging with some of my friends this past week as we were talking the future of the church. And this friend of mine I had known had left call a little bit ago. Great personal friend of mine. Like a loss to the church, a loss to the kingdom. And my heart just ached. And we sat down, and I realized that this was his first step back in. It was a moment, it was a new beginning, it was a new journey. And he didn't know where it was going to lead, but he says, I'm stepping back in. And I looked across, and I said to him, sitting across the table, and I said, the church needs you. I said, I need you. I said, my heart broke when you walked. And I know your pain, and I know you're hurt, but my heart broke, and I know you need a time and a season, but the church craves your presence. It craves your leadership. It craves your heart of God. And I realized when I was looking at him and telling him how much now the world would change through his leadership, that I was looking at every one of you. And if I sat down across the table, I would tell you the same thing, that the church craves you. It needs you. That not one of us can be in this church and do it alone, that I could never lead a church by myself. That it has to begin with you. And now imagine if we could hear that from every person in our life. Imagine if someone just looked to you today and said, I crave you. I need you in my life, and I can't imagine my life without you. And there was no provocation for that. Just our heart. Imagine sharing that with someone. Now in this Lenten journey, imagine sharing that with God. I need you. I can't do this life without you. And I've been so distant and so far away, I've forgotten. I know you've never left me, but I'm going to walk towards you right now and give everything to you. How much will it change your life? So my prayer for you, my prayer for myself, is that each of us begin a journey with God that looks different. A journey with God that looks new, that looks bold, that proclaims that we have a God who so dearly loves us that we can never be separated from his love. And that we begin that journey and trust that journey for 40 days with Christ until we meet him again in the resurrection. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly and gracious Father, we confess to you that we are not as strong as we portray. That we hurt more deeply than we tell people. We confess that we are more tempted than we tell people. We confess that at times we've questioned your presence. We confess that we need you and that we have not offered ourselves to you in the way that you desire to be in relationship with us. So Lord, we don't even know what the church can become or what you're calling us to until we give our lives over. So tonight, Lord, we confess that we will step into that relationship. We will step into giving our lives over to you again at your altar, at the cross, not standing but kneeling in prayer, knowing that you have always been with us, that you formed us, that you created this world from a formless void in the darkness and brought it light and us into it, and that you gave us a promise that is greater than anything on this earth. My prayer today for this church, Lord, and for those gathered here, and for every person in relationship with you, every person seeking relationship, every person that is yet to come to know you, is that they would never be separated from your love. And that in their heart, they will always know that. And that today can be a new journey for each of us. I pray these things in your holy and precious name. And all God's people said,
amen.
At this time in our service, the reason this night is special, it is because it is called Ash Wednesday. And we remember that we are dust, that we are formed in and through the dust of this earth. And to dust we shall return, but that is not our end. That we have a promise that is greater than that. But we remember today that we are the broken pages of a beautiful gospel. That we are torn apart, that we need Christ. And so we come to receive this cross on our forehead that is the same cross that we baptize with for children and adults when they say, I believe. And may it tonight remember and remind you of your baptism. And may you hear that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But to know that Christ is always with you. So I invite you as we prepare the ashes to be in a time of prayer. And as we come to you, our ushers will invite you forward. Please take a moment of prayer.